Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Neil Greenberg, Washington Post, in just a few moments. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Duke, another three-pointer.
Terry turns it over at the top of the key. Couldn't catch it cleanly. Pass ahead, though. Jones took it right back. There's two Yellow Jackets down behind the play as Hurts open in the left corner and buries the three.
73-64, the final. Duke beat Georgia Tech last night. Meanwhile, Illinois beat Wisconsin 71-70. Wisconsin at the Jordan Center on what is 24 years to the day that the Jordan Center had its first basketball game. It'll be on the 11th. They'll take on Wisconsin. 2:15, 1:30 the airtime. All right, let's bring Neil Greenberg in, Washington Post. I want to talk about the NFL, about the playoffs, and also about the Redskins as well. Neil, first of all, Happy New Year. Great to have you with us.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate that very much. I want to ask just before I get to the playoffs about the Redskins first. They made a series of moves, including Ron Rivera. Are those moves that put them in a better direction?
There's an argument to be made that they couldn't get in a worse direction, so I would say yes. But I'm a little skeptical on how much impact he can have in the first year or two. I think the biggest question mark for this franchise is, do they have their guy at quarterback in Dwayne Haskins? If they do, the turnaround can go a lot quicker. If they don't, they have to find out he's not the guy, if they don't already know. They have to find the guy, and then they have to develop the guy. So I think that could take a couple of seasons. So I'm probably a little bit more pessimistic than most, but absolutely, you got to give credit to the franchise for at least recognizing that they had a toxic culture and they made a purge, and now at least they appear to be heading in the right direction in terms of the coaching staff and perhaps the front office.
Now, I did one Dwayne Haskins game, so the sample size I saw in person is almost the same as yours. Okay. But in the small sample size that you see, especially at the end of the season, does he bear watching as a quarterback, in your opinion, to see if he is the answer?
It's hard to say because he's got no talent around him, right? I mean, he had no tight end. He had one wide receiver. The offensive line was kind of in a shambles. He didn't have a coach. He had an interim coach that preferred the running game. So, I mean, it's really hard to say for sure what they have. And that's why I think they really do need to figure that out because, I mean, it takes a long time to find a franchise quarterback, and it takes some time to develop them, too. I mean, they don't always debut as the anointed one. So, I think that it's too soon to tell, but so far there's been some encouraging signs, but I think there's been a lot of negativity around them, too. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
Hey, who's calling the personnel shots there?
It's a great question. Right now, it looks like it could be Ron Rivera, at least up until the draft. I'm sure that Daniel Snyder will have some say in the matter, being as it's his team. But there's no general manager that I know of. There's no director of player personnel that I know of. So they're going into the draft. I don't want to say a rudderless ship, but I don't know too many franchises that see not having a GM as a model of success. So I think it's going to be interesting how they get through through the draft at least. And, you know, you could argue they have probably the most important pick in the draft, right? The number two pick.
Yes.
You're going to see Joe Burrow's go number one, most likely.
Yep.
They have a chance to draft Chase Young, but, I mean, this is a team that won three games last year and has a ton of holes. In my opinion, they'd be much better served trading back, getting some more picks. But, you know, if you don't have a guy in the front office, it makes it very difficult to deal with. So, you know, I'm interested to see how that plays out.
All right, playoffs. Three of the four road teams won over the weekend. Found that interesting, which means those three are all going back on the road again. Your thoughts on what we saw this past weekend, because there certainly was plenty of drama, Neil.
Yeah, I think we saw some poor quarterback play that led to teams' demise, right? I mean, Tom Brady has been a shell of his former self all season long. I wrote earlier in the season that you can't look at him as an elite quarterback anymore. You may not even be able to look at him as an average quarterback. And, you know, I got a lot of hate mail from both people that cover the NFL, but also, you know, fans, obviously. But, you know, you look at how poorly he played, I don't think there's any surprise that New England got bounced. Mm-hmm. You know, Drew Brees didn't have a very spectacular game, so they were on the short end of it. You know, you got to give some credit to Houston and Tennessee for, you know, punching above their weight and playing well.
Yeah.
But I think we'll see a lot more. I think it was a little bit fluky too. I mean, we don't normally see that much drama in the NFL, right? The better team usually is the better team.
Right.
So, you know, Minnesota, you know, Kirk Cousins has been coming on strong the past couple of weeks, right? I mean, him having a strong game is certainly no fluke. And then we saw Derrick Henry just, you know, crush it. I mean, there was you couldn't stop him unless you had like a you know, you just literally built up a brick wall and just had him run into it. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how the quarterbacks fare in this next round. I personally think it's going to be more spotlight on the defenses. So I'm not looking for a resurgence from a lot of these quarterbacks in this next round.
Which home team, which obviously the ones that had the byes, should have the biggest concern this weekend?
I think Green Bay.
I thought you were going to say that because
yeah,
I mean, Russell Wilson is a gigantic factor.
Oh yeah, and you know they seem to be able to win games that maybe they shouldn't win.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in a lot of close games, so I don't think that their record. I don't think they're as good as their record says they are, but they still find ways to win. And you know, we talked about Tom Brady earlier. I think Aaron Rodgers is another quarterback that's kind of on the decline as he ages. And, you know, there's no guarantee that he'll be able to, you know, sling his way to another victory as well. So I think Green Bay is going to win. But, you know, if you're asking me which one is the most vulnerable, I think it's definitely Green Bay. Plus, it's supposed to be snow.
Yes.
So that might be, you know, that might tilt back in their favor because, you know, you and I might be able to suit up for Seattle in the running back position. They've had so many injuries that are bring, you know, Marshawn Lynch in. So, but I think if we're just talking in a vacuum, I think Green Bay is the most vulnerable.
Yeah. All right, so when you look at Baltimore and what Baltimore's done to this point, and their style's a little bit different than everybody else, what impresses you about Baltimore? What also makes Baltimore vulnerable at times?
Well, I mean, obviously what's impressive about Baltimore starts under center, right? I mean, what Lamar Jackson brings, a true dual-threat quarterback, is monstrous. I mean, he can certainly throw the ball. We know he can run the ball. The chemistry with him and his tight end, Pro Bowler Mark Andrews, is electric. So I think that, you know, they pose a lot of problems. I understand Mark Ingram may not be ready to go, but still, this team is going to live and die by how well Lamar Jackson does. I think that they have a problem, though, stopping other quarterbacks. I mean, you look at how often they have to bring the blitz to create pass pressure. I mean, they're blitzing teams almost half the time to get a pass rush. And, you know, that's going to stretch out your secondary. It's going to cause other openings to happen, you know, deep downfield. You know, maybe they don't get caught this time around by Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee has kind of been playing on borrow time a little bit. But you know, San Francisco certainly can take Baltimore to task, as I think probably Kansas City and Seattle can. So I think that you know, not being able to get a traditional four-man pass rush on defense could be something that hurts them down the line.
When you look, San Francisco being a West Coast team may not be seen as often, even though the schedule bounces everybody around. Okay. You know, sometimes they play in the East Coast, whatever. Sometimes they play in a Monday night game. You know, not as much Sunday night exposure. When you look at San Francisco, are they built in some ways modern game, but also are they built in some ways in the traditional sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my in-laws are from the Bay Area, so I watch every 49ers game every week.
Yeah, good. Now at least you get to enjoy the experience.
Right. but like you said, I mean, they have a traditional in-the-pocket passer in Garoppolo. They have a tight end that can catch passes, but also is very much in the mold of an inline tight end that can run block better right. than any other player at the position.
They sometimes use a fullback.
I was about to say, they have the alphabet, you know, Kyle Alphabet, at a fullback. You know, so they, yeah, they're very much built offensively in a traditional way. And then, I mean, they just have an absolute bruising defense with, you know, Bosa and just everybody else that they can bring. Richard Sherman, of course, is, you know, I mean, he's a shutdown corner, as good as any corner in the league. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting to see with all the analytics talks, a lot of which I do, you know, they're very much in the traditional mold. And I think, you know, the fullback part of it is really interesting because you don't see too many fullbacks in the NFL right now, but they certainly have one that can lead for Mostert or, you know, punch it in his own right. I mean, I think that they're very exciting to watch.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting about that because every once in a while when Devlin was healthy, the Patriots once in a while would use a fullback. And for you and me watching the game, all right, hey, fullback will take you to the play and the whole deal. Except when teams aren't using the fullback anymore. Now when team uses one, you're looking around saying, okay, now what are those keys again? People,
right.
people aren't used to seeing. If you're not used to playing against it because you're seeing so many RPOs, it takes something to get used to.
Yeah, and it was also, I mean, you remember like the fullback was kind of used as the third down pass catching back, right? Darrell Johnson.
Absolutely.
Larry Centers. I mean, you know, Mike Allstott. I mean, those guys were kind of like the precursor to the pass catching backs that we see today, right? I mean, Christian McCaffrey is doing what a lot of fullbacks used to do and now is just playing every down instead of just the first two downs and then having the fullback come in to pass to catch a pass on third down. So, yeah, I mean, the more things change, I guess, the more things change to stay the same, right? I mean, it's just we're seeing now we're just seeing that ability in one player, right? A bigger running back that also has good hands as opposed to splitting up the duties between two people.
Exactly. Your thoughts on who wins this weekend? I mean, is it home team weekend or according to Hoyle, or is it have a couple of changeups?
I think it's going to be a lot of chalk. I think San Francisco will do okay. Baltimore, I think, wins easy. Kansas City, I think, wins easy. I think the weather in Green Bay helps Green Bay. Could I see Minnesota being the surprise team? Yes. Would I be shocked if Seattle beat Green Bay? No. But I do think it's going to be a lot of chalk this weekend.
Neil, an absolute pleasure. Really enjoyed it. Fun, entertaining, and informative. Appreciate you very much.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Enjoy the playoffs, and maybe we can talk again soon.
Look forward to that. Neil Greenberg, Washington Post. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The suit. Christmas party. White jacket, white slacks, white shoes. We clear the dance floor and give him room to operate. He begins to spin, takes the white jacket off, flips it into the crowd. Caught by the crowd, and then others in a show of disrespect walk all over the jacket. It's really, okay.
Oh. It was a sight to see.
Oh, it was a sight. And I didn't see it. Because they held it on a Thursday night when they knew I had a show. I wonder.
I was planning to go, and then I wasn't feeling well that day, so I didn't make it either.
Oh, man, I'll tell you right now, you came up with this excuse right when you needed it. Because he was over there working the room. And last year I went, a year ago I went, and he said, I'm going to be working the room. And then I walked past him, he was sitting there. I said, it's an unusual way to work the room.
Well, the little mozzarella balls were calling, I think.
In a lot of ways. All right, so great to have you with us on the show. We're going to shift gears to minor league baseball in the next half hour because the Cutters are right now, along with State College, on the possible cut line when it comes to the 2021 season. Not 2020. Everybody's playing 2020. But the agreement between Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball expires September 15th. And there's so many elements of this that are so backwards. I mean, just so backwards that it's almost stunning in some ways about how short-sighted this is. It goes completely against their own philosophy. Their own philosophy in Major League Baseball these days is if you're a player over the age of 33, your ability to be a big-time contributor starts to fall back, according to analytics. Thus, they don't want as many players. Over the age of 33 doesn't mean there isn't room for, obviously, really good players over the age of 33. There is, but not for the marginal player. Okay. They'd like to have as many as many players as possible between the ages of 25 and 31. Most of them, I think they'd like to have on single contracts. Not that second and third contract. Not that Bryce Harper deal. Not the Mike Trout deal, even though they know they have to. But still. Now, how do you accomplish that? You accomplish that through player development. Where does player development occur? In the minor leagues. Okay. I want to grow my game, and I want people between the ages of 18 and 49 to go. Right now, the average age of those watching games on TV is about 52, 53. Okay. How do I get young people involved in going to the games? Okay. Well, in 160 towns in America where it is easy to get to, easier, and it's affordable to go to, here in State College, very affordable. Same story in Williamsport, very affordable. That's how you get young people interested in going to baseball games at this level in towns across America, where suddenly you want to make that trip to Philadelphia to see the Phillies. Boy, I saw Rhys Hoskins in Williamsport. Boy, I'm going to go to Philadelphia and watch Rhys Hoskins play. Oh, okay. Now they have Cesar Hernandez. I think they just dropped Cesar Hernandez and Mikel Franco, but they were in Williamsport too. I think I'll go down there, even though I don't live. You know, I live a couple hours away, but I'll go because, you know, I went to Williamsport and watched the play. It was really cool. Adam Haseley, saw him play in Williamsport. That's great. Jordan Hicks threw the ball 105 miles an hour. I just watched him in State College. Wow. Brock Holt hit for the cycle in the playoffs. Man, he played all summer in state college. Now, how interested are these same people going to be in maybe wanting to go to a game if they don't have any experience of going to any game? You're a $9 billion industry that right now has falling attendance and has falling TV ratings. You now want to shut the spigot off in one-fourth of your minor league markets that's helping to build your fan bases? I understand the desire to save money, but I'll tell you where they're wasting the money is Florida and Arizona, where it's so hot they can't really be productive. I mean, you know, do you realize they played before nobody at 10 a.m. in the morning down there?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A lot of football talk, baseball talk, basketball talk. We're going to focus in on baseball here for the next few minutes. Next week it'll be actually streamed on Facebook because Minor League Baseball wants it streamed on Facebook. The State College Spikes are going to have a press conference. This is something where expect the Williamsport Crosscutters to take a long, hard look at this. And it's going to be a hashtag Save Our Spikes campaign. They wanted me to be the MC of it, and I obviously would have in a heartbeat. I've been the voice of the team since the opening pitch. And, of course, Joe Putnam has been with me the last 12 years, going into our 13th season together, my 15th. And it turned out that because Penn State's playing basketball at Minnesota next Wednesday at 9, which means we won't be out of the arena until after midnight, the decision was made to fly back early Thursday morning. And so I'm going to miss the press conference by an hour because I'm flying back. But with that, we bring into the Sunbury Motors studio here in State College Joe Putnam of the Spikes. Joe, welcome. Great to have you with us. Where do things stand right now, Joe, in the negotiations? I know they negotiated with obviously no real progress in December, and my thought was they're going to start talking again in February.
Well, and right now, there is a lot of rhetoric out there, certainly, and that may have escalated. But really, things are still where they were at when we last spoke in 2019. And so, really, for the Spikes, I mean, whether us being on the list of teams potentially, because we're doing everything we can to try and stave that off, whether or not that list is accurate or will be paired, what have you, however these go, we want to make sure that everybody out there knows exactly how vital the Spikes are to Happy Valley. So that's what next Thursday's event is going to be all about. It's going to be at 11 a.m. It is a press conference, but we certainly welcome any and all Spikes fans, members of the public, come out. It'll be in the exhibit room at the Center County Visitors Center, which is at 800 East Park Avenue in State College. It's a stone's throw away from the ballpark. It's right across from the Beaver Stadium ticket office. Many of you have passed by it many times, so a lot of you have gone in there as well before. But that's where the press conference will be, and we're honored and excited to be able to welcome several elected officials, members of our community, prominent members of our community, to speak at the event. Jake Corman, who is, of course, the state senator for our area, as well as being the Senate Majority Leader in the Pennsylvania State Senate, will be speaking. We'll also be joined by several other distinguished speakers, including the district director for Congressman Fred Keller, who represents the eastern part of our county.
And represent specifically where the ballpark is.
Absolutely. And Kaufman will be on hand. Dennis Davin, who is the Pennsylvania Secretary of Community and Economic Development. We'll also have Fritz Smith, who's the President and CEO of the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau over in Squire, the President and CEO of the CBICC. Of course, Spike's General Manager Scott Walker will be speaking. But we're also going to be very pleased and honored to be joined by Dave Boehner, who is the grandfather of our late bench coach, Josiah Vieira. And, you know, we were talking with Dave not too long ago, and he said if Josiah had found out about this, he'd be on the phone right now with several people to tell them how important the Spikes are to this area, and he would probably tell them they were foolish. But
right. The Spikes have averaged $123,000 per season over the first 14 seasons. And obviously, you'd like to see the next 14 seasons be $123,000+. What has that attendance number meant, and what can it mean in this particular summer?
The attendance number, I think, this summer is extremely important. That sends the biggest message as far as what the Spikes' impact is here in Happy Valley. If fans pack the ballpark night in, night out, and show their support for the Spikes through that, that's going to send a huge message to everybody across the baseball world. And it's going to be very special this year, too, because we are just about 120,000 fans shy of 2 million
yes.
over the course of the franchise, which is a very important benchmark. One we certainly, even before this all came down, we were looking forward to hitting, but one this year that will be of utmost importance to send a message to everybody across the baseball world, to send a message, whether it be those in New York, D.C., that the Spikes are important to Happy Valley, and the Spikes play an important role in the summertime, in particular here in Central PA. So I think that attendance number certainly it is the one that I think most people will look at and say, well, State College and Central PA and Happy Valley loves the Spikes.
Especially when you're talking about if you're averaging 123,000, that means your summer average is approximately 80+% of the population of the county.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So what do, in your opinion, because I mean part of this is going to be guesswork as to what people think, attendance number, facility, and organization, what do those three elements mean when it comes to everything of hashtag Save Your Spikes?
Well, and that's the great thing as well. You know, we talked about the attendance number, showing up in force at the ballpark for each and every one of the 38 home games we'll be hosting this coming summer. That speaks volumes. What also speaks volumes is our facility. You know, that's sort of been a benchmark issue for a lot of people in this process. But I think that not only having us to say, look at our facility, but to have our entire community come together and say, look what this facility does for us. Look what having this facility here as a community gathering place does for us. Look how great this facility is for youth baseball in the area, for players looking to expand their skills, even beyond the minor league baseball level. But, of course, you know, we take great pride in hosting players throughout the summertime as well, and providing them with great homes and great accommodations and a warm environment through which to grow the game throughout the summer. So that's going to be big as well.
Spikes have also averaged a little bit better than 4 players to the major leagues per year.
Yes.
What has that part meant?
You know what? And that is important as well, because obviously we take great pride in the Spikes with having future major league stars hit the field day in, day out, night in, night out, you know, just starting out their professional careers.
But isn't that a message to the upper levels about the development when a franchise is averaging 4 major leaguers per team?
I would think so, you know. And, you know, it's not just 4 major leaguers. It's major leaguers that are making contributions. Brock
right.
Holt had the first postseason cycle in history. I mean, you look at Jordan Hicks, who spent half a season with State College, a very valuable half season for his development as he became basically the pitcher that threw the hardest, most consistently in the history of the game.
Tony Watson,
who it picked up a couple of victories in the World Series, started out in State College as well And, I mean, the list really does go on and on. Even Mike Schilt, the National League Manager of the Year, his very first full-time professional coaching role was in the inaugural season. You were there, Steve, 2006. Yeah. He was the bench coach for Mark Dejean. And, of course, DJ just retired after a lengthy career in the Cardinals organization. So
eventually, DJ started staying in the dugout, and Schulte started coaching third base.
Yeah.
Then they started winning. No offense, DJ.
So, and that speaks to the development at all levels, and the environment that's created here in State College from the great facilities we have at Medler Field at Lebrano Park, and also the environment that's created by our community showing up each and every night. I mean, I've had so many players throughout the years say something to the effect of, I've never seen this many people to play in front of before. And even then, it's like it is such an adrenaline rush for them. It helps them perform so much better to see the thousands of people come out to the ballpark night in and night out.
Jose Leon returns for his second season as the manager of the Spikes.
Absolutely. And we're looking forward to having Jose back. You know,
I like Jose. He's a good guy.
We love having him around. He provides a great element of levity. But also, he knows his stuff. I mean, the Spikes were the highest scoring team in the New York Penn League last year, set team records for walks in a single season, which speaks to the patience and the development that he brought, especially to hitting. And he created a great environment. We're pleased and looking forward to having Jason Broussard as our new hitting coach. He spent time last year with the Palm Beach Cardinals down in Florida as what they call a fourth coach, but he has a tremendous skill set coaching. And Dean Kiefer, who is a major league pitcher, and he's making his debut as a coach, but he is tremendously knowledgeable as well. We're looking forward to welcoming him as our pitching coach to Happy Valley. And also, of course, Joey Olsiewicz as athletic trainer, Don Trapp, our strength and conditioning coach, back. I'll be excited to see them. Joey actually is a newlywed, just got married this offseason, so it'll be great to have him back. I'm sure we'll see his beautiful bride in town, and the Trapp family is always a delight as well. So we're looking forward to welcoming them all to the Spikes family, and looking forward to what hopefully be another great season on the field.
Give us some other. Now, next Thursday is an important date at 11 a.m. at the Lion Country Visitors and Convention Center. It's the building next to the Meats Lab.
right across from the stadium.
Right across from the stadium. Can't miss it. What are some other important dates that people should keep in mind moving forward?
Well, other important dates, obviously the biggest one, June 18th, that is our opening night, just 161 days away. You want to be on the lookout as well. You know, we talk about
There's season ticket sales, there's single ticket sales.
Ticket sales will go on sale as we get close to the season. That's being shored up right now. What I actually can tell you, though, is that as part of the Save Our Spikes initiative, and we are also celebrating our 15th season. So two very important things to take into consideration. You may have seen the 15th season Flexbook special, 15 vouchers for the price of 10. Be on the lookout for other great specials. But also, single game tickets, I mean, they'll be on sale at a future date, but we can assure you that if you are purchasing outfield bleacher seats for the 2020 season in celebration of 15 years and also in celebration of the Save Our Spikes initiative, we are rolling back the prices on all bleacher seats to the opening day 2006 price for those bleacher seats. They'll be $6 a head, and as a result of that, when you see half-price bleacher nights, of which there will be several this year, that'll roll back as well. It'll be just $3 to get in and hit up a bleacher seat on those nights. We'll have, of course, dollar bleacher nights coming back this season as part of Monday Buck Night as well. That'll stay at $1. We're not quite rolling that back, but we're looking to offer fans the great deals and enable them to develop even more great memories and show the baseball world exactly how many memories we make here in Central Park.
Which, by the way, was all part of the plan before this ever came up anyway.
Yes.
So this is not a reaction to what's happening. That was actually part of the plan as part of the 15th anniversary of the Spikes anyway.
Exactly. And listen, you'll be seeing a lot of things. We were excited. We were going to blow things out for our 15th season anyway, just in appreciation of how much our fans have supported us over these first 14 seasons and into the 15th season and beyond. But as soon as this all comes down, certainly the urgency factor is upped. We are hoping that our fans will come through. We know they'll come through and show up in full force to help show everybody exactly how important the spikes are. But you know, now we just have that much more incentive to give fans a tremendous product, great fun, affordable family entertainment, and again, more future Major League stars coming through State College.
All right, 272-1711, 272-1711, or you can always go to statecollegespikes.com. And while I'm confident we'll be sitting here talking about the 2021 season, I'm also of the attitude of take nothing for granted.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing. You know, we want to make sure that it's crystal clear to everybody out there exactly what the impact the spikes have here in Happy Valley, and we're looking forward to it. And it really all starts up next Thursday, 11 a.m. And again, this is open to the public. We invite everybody and anybody to come out and show their support for the spikes at this press conference next Thursday, January 16th.
Fans, business leaders.
Exactly. It'll be at 11 a.m. It'll be in the exhibit room at the Center County Visitor Center. Again, just right across from the Beaver Stadium. Ticket office, 800 East Park Avenue. If you want to punch that in right now into your Maps app of choice, you can do that. And we certainly look forward to welcoming you to the Save Our Spikes press conference. We look forward to welcoming you to Medler Field at LeBron Park throughout this year.
And by the way, also punch into your radio 93.3 FM.
That's right. That's right. New FM signal for Spikes baseball throughout the summertime. In addition, of course, AM 1390, which has been great throughout the first 14 season. We're on the FM side as well.
Joe Putnam. All right. ESPN's 150 greatest players, 26 through 150, revealed. Four former Nittany Lions on the list. We'll tell you about it in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right. So ESPN put together a blue ribbon panel of whatever to rank the top 150 players. They put out 26 through 150 today. And there is one I vehemently disagree with right out of the gate. And that is number 145. Mike Reed, if you understand and know the game, Mike Reed is not 145. Now, if you could put Mike Reed in the top 100, I don't know, if you want to put him in, if you want to put Mike Reed at 70, 75, okay, fine. But 145? All right. Do you watch the games? Again, part of these lists are also based because you can talk blue ribbon all you want. Oh, blue ribbon this, blue ribbon that. But believe me, what they did in the pros is an influence over what's going on here. All right. Mike Reed did not have a long pro career with the Cincinnati Bengals. He got out, I want to say Mike played 5 years. And I think that's a major influence in Mike not getting his just due, but he ended up at 145. Okay. Now let's get to the other ones. LeVar Arrington was 102. John Cappelletti was 98. And my broadcast partner, Jack Ham, was 69. So those are the four Nittany Lions there. Jack Ham at 69, John Cappelletti at 98, LeVar Arrington at 102, and Mike Reed at 145. See, when I see Mike Reed at 145, That's where I'm starting to think, okay, this is where the pro influence comes in. Okay. For example, David Deacon Jones is on the left. I want to say Deacon Jones is 149. I have no idea how he did at Mississippi Vocational Technical School, which is now Mississippi Valley State. I really don't know much about his college career, but his 14-year NFL career? Oh, yeah. Mostly with the Rams. Oh, yeah. David Deacon Jones was something in the NFL. But see, that's when I see these lists and I see Mike Reed at 145. That tells me right away that the pro influence on the list is absolutely there. Now, there's some that overcome the pro influence. Doug Flutie overcomes it. Yeah, he had, most of his success was in the Canadian Football League. I think he won 5 Grey Cups in the Canadian Football League, some number like that. And he certainly had some good moments with the Bears, some really good moments with the Bills. In fact, I think he should have had a greater chance in the NFL than he ended up with. Doug Flutie knew how to play. But see, when I see Mike Reed at 145, that tells me right off the bat, okay, here's a group that was influenced by the NFL. Mike didn't have a long NFL career with the Bengals. He elected to go into music. There's a reason why this guy won the Maxwell Award, the Outland Trophy, and was first-team All-American. Unbelievable defensive tackle in college football. Unbelievable. The fact that he comes in at 145 tells you if he had a 10-year NFL career, I bet he's up in the top 100. But it's a blue ribbon panel, though. Well, let's see. Let's start with this. How many members of the blue ribbon panel were like actually watching football when Mike Reed played? Good question. I mean, that's the only one I quibble with. I don't mind LeVar at 102, Jack at 69, John Cappelletti at 98. Fine. Mike Reed tells me that there's a little bit of it that this isn't. It's not an exact science to begin with when you're ranking people. Like, I rank Chad on this particular day number 1.
Thank you.
The suit had you at 12th. So it's subjective. It's all subjective, Chad. But I rated you first.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Great to have you with us today. And back in an hour with the Coaches Show from downtown State College here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.